This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. I've got a real bugbear, Barry, that I want to talk about.
Look, you're not picking another bone with me, are you?
No, it's these bloody results. When you're not playing, you can't get them fast. Oh, I have no idea what's going on. Something in the ether is not happening right, so I wonder if Trump's gone and stuck his bloody nose up in that too.
Yes, I know what you mean. I was trying to get into some results and I couldn't get in. And it seems to be sort of general. It seems to be every week's like that, you know?
And yeah.
I'm sitting at my open home pushing the refresh button and nothing's coming up.
It is painful, you know?
Yeah, it is a bit frustrating. There's a lot of people around the country interested in results. And I don't know why. It seems to be certainly worse at the moment than it usually is.
That's right. Anyway, that's it. Have you got anything positive to report?
At Auckland, had their two big events, the 10A Auckland Regional Pairs, won by Patrick Carter and Grant Jarvis.
Well done, Baylor.
Yeah, and Liz and Blair Fisher was second. The teams was won by Debbie McLeod, Murat Genk, Anne Marie Russell, and Peter Newell, quite convincingly. And second were Neil Stuckey and Dwayne Crombie, Michael and Vivian Cornell. They ran a great tournament. The food was sensational. They provided lunch on Sunday. I had the chicken noodle soup.
Talking about that, Hamilton has a soup and bun coming up in August. And they were just wondering whether or not it's a good idea because two clubs in Hamilton, Waikato and Hamilton, Waikato Club are having a soup and bun on the Saturday. And Hamilton Club is having a soup and bun on the Sunday. People said, how can they have soup and buns on the same weekend? I don't know. It's on two different days. Wouldn't that be great if you wanted to play the whole weekend? You go and play over there and then you come over to Hamilton and you play here. Not like the All Blacks and the Bloody Warriors. They played on the same day at the same time. Who worked that
out? Good if you like soup and a bun, I reckon. But so for people who don't know, soup and bun is quite popular here. You have soup and bun to start with and then you have a session of bridge afterwards. You pay about $7 or $8?
$7.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap. Good way to spend the afternoon. You don't have to take your own lunch and you get to play some bridge as well. Popular, really.
Somebody on a higher pay rate than me is going to make a decision over whether they should keep it on the same weekend.
Perhaps we should have a soup and bun committee to
Oh, you'll have committees just for the sake of committees.
Wouldn't that be an awesome thing to put on your CV? I was on the soup and bun committee.
The final segment of our chat with Paul Marsden is coming up next. We talk cheat sheets, newbies' phobia to playing in one no Trump. Enjoy. You can't even say you're actually retired from bridge then, can you?
Far from it.
I'm very involved with the game. I just don't compete in tournaments nowadays. I still love the game. I've been very involved in the game, sitting here talking about the game all the time, you know, raising hands and on bidding forums and other things. Love the game.
Have you played any club bridge at all, Paul, or not really?
Not at all.
Yeah.
You don't find any inkling or any desire to go to the table and have a couple of games?
No, I haven't done for a long time, though. I have some desire to, you know, something gets in the way.
He's pretty heavily involved in it by the sound of it.
I'd love to know the structure that you play with the four levels when you're teaching bridge. Have a little glimpse at how you teach.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the levels they're on. I mentioned Nevena Jervik before. She's created the website and she's very central to the online game. And she's got some descriptions of the levels on the website.
Oh, okay.
So I can send you a copy of the web address and you can just have a look through. And
that's that would be good.
It's designed to steer people to a point of knowing nothing, to a point where they have some ability to play and enjoy the game without having to be constantly checking on notes and things like that.
Yes. I think the bridge players that we're teaching now, they like having that little safety net of something to refer to. For me, I would prefer that they would try and go to memory, but it seems to me these little cheat sheets that they call, they prefer to go to the table with one of them, but I can't get the right delivery to them that they're flipping through so much information to make one little bid that's going to describe your hand. I don't know whether the cheat sheets are a good thing or a bad thing.
I published the cheat sheet back in the 80s. We called it the cheat sheet, and it's sort of stuck in terms of bridge. They're very popular. You know, we've sold close to 300,000.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I never, ever stand in front of a class and say, this is a cheat sheet, you should buy it. Never, never. I never mention the cheat sheet in a class. People come and grab them. But never on my word. And the reason is that I don't encourage people to look up things instead of thinking.
Okay, that's good.
I think that's right. The trouble is, if they're in the middle of an auction and they want to try and find something on this cheat sheet, when probably their main problem is they should have opened one No Trump in the first place or something simple like that. And now they're trying to find out what to do next. It's almost impossible for some people to. The cheat sheet isn't going to save them if they've already done the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's what I get the impression that they're looking for. When they've made their mind up how they're going to explain their hand and then partner does something that they aren't quite prepared for, I think that's when they start looking. And then that's when we get into the slow play, rad, rad, rad. They almost get a little bit afraid to make a bid. They would do things, oh, look, it's too hard and I'm going to pass. Instead of doing the logical thing of just saying, okay, what could that mean and what did I want to do in the beginning? And why has it changed?
I think a cheat sheet's a good thing to check on after the hand. And you can check it. Yes. It's important for people to make their own decisions, right or wrong.
Yeah.
I think a thing that affects their bidding, and I don't know whether this is just in New Zealand, Paul, or whether you find it as well, a lot of beginners, I'd say most beginners, don't like playing no trumps when they start out. As a result, they don't want to open a no trump and they don't want to rebid a no trump. Do you find that?
Oh, definitely. Sure. They've got this ghastly memory of things going totally out of control. Their partner's sitting there staring at them, wondering what's happened. They just don't want to go there at all.
The no trump phobia.
Where does it come from, though? We don't say that playing one no trump is scary or is the wrong thing to do. So where do you think they get this phobia of one no trump from?
Everyone starts when they learn bridge and they all start cashing their aces. That's what they do. And they cash their aces and then they leave the next suit and they go several tricks down and everyone is aghast at them and it creates embarrassment on their part.
Right.
And us teachers are constantly telling people to stop cashing your aces, establish your suits. And we have to say this over and over and over. And that's the pathway to gaining confidence about playing no trumps.
There we go.
The tip is lose tricks early. That's what the trick is. At least in the beginning, not at the end.
Oh, you did right, Barry. Lose early, win late.
Hey, I just want to say one thing. We were talking about the Gold Coast Congress and how it is no more. One of the things I always enjoyed at the Gold Coast Congress was they often have speakers during the week, not many of which I go to, but one that I always used to try to go to was Paul. If he was talking about two over one, he quite often had subjects that were interesting. They were excellent, Paul. New ideas about things that were happening, and I usually did come along when you were speaking. I'm going to miss that.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you. Yeah. I used to enjoy those presentations. I put a bit of effort into it, you know?
Yeah, they were good. I always used to make sure that I went to one or two, if not all of them.
They were pretty well attended when you were speaking, Paul. They sort of, if you didn't get there early, you wouldn't get a decent seat. Anyway, so I don't know whether you've got another outlet for that sort of thing or...
No, not really. I mean, we're presenting lessons here all the time.
Yeah.
Some of them very well attended. Not all, but most of them are.
Going to say, I know that years ago they decided we'd run some improvers classes at our Hamilton Club. I was running them and we really didn't know how many people were going to turn up. You know, we thought we'd have four or five tables and it was like... I think the first night there was something like 40 or 50 people turned up to these improvers classes.
Oh,
God,
great.
And we didn't have enough seats out. We didn't really expecting that. They won't all come back next week, I thought. Well, the next week there were more people there. I mean, there's a real demand. These were intermediate lessons for people that had been playing for a few years.
Yeah,
there's a real demand for that sort of thing, isn't there?
If it's well presented, you know, it's very rewarding. There's nothing more cheering than to have people walking through the door.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was quite a buzz when the numbers kept going up. It was remarkable. Yeah. And they were paying extra to come along. Yeah, it was pretty successful. We haven't done that for a few years, Mariana.
No, we haven't. I enjoyed watching when you were talking with Samantha Punch. That was really cool. We've had Sam on the show before. Her BAMSA stuff is really incredible.
Yeah, she's doing great stuff for Bridge, that's for sure.
Yeah, she is.
Problem when you're at the end of the world, when you want to interview somebody like Samantha, sometimes it's not unusual for Mariana and I to be recording in the middle of the night sometimes.
Thank you for your time. Our listeners will get a great deal out of hearing what you've had to say and about your current dealings with Bridge. 120 people, well, that's great for a normal club session. Unheard of. Maybe that's something that Bridge in New Zealand could look to offering Saturdays. I'm not too sure how it would go. It's certainly popular in Australia, isn't it?
Oh, big time, yeah. No question about that.
If a club in New Zealand did it, say a club in Auckland, they'd probably be like the only one. I imagine if a club in Auckland did it, you might find a lot of neighbouring club that wasn't just to their club members. I mean, anything would be possible. They could get huge numbers.
They could. Well, thank you for your time, Paul.
It's a real pleasure, Mariana. Real pleasure, Barry. Thanks, guys. Nice to catch up.
Whaiakine. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates and novices, and our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney. Good morning, Ross. How are we?
I'm very well, thank you.
Come on, Barry, we're back at the race course. Where is Gin and Barrett racing this week?
I don't think it's racing this week. I did send Ross a text last Wednesday to tell him that Gin and Barrett had won the second race at Avondale last week.
Got to put a bet on it.
We're on fire with our racehorse.
Might have the commentator's curse, though.
Now we've got that result out of the way. Are there any other results you want to talk about, Ross?
Yeah, what a few. There was quite a nice weekend. Karori had an intermediate tournament on. They had 16 pairs. It was won by Todd Bearsworth and Catherine Bridger from Kairangi and Todd Bearsworth from Victoria. Both rounds over 60%, so a meritorious weekend for them. Parapara Umu had a junior pair sponsored by Coast Funeral Homes, won by Rachel Bruce and Andrew Booker, both from Parapara Umu. Nice little 7.5 tables. Mount Maunganui, they had a trifecta, if you like, Barry, in your racing terms, junior, an intermediate, and a novice tournament. The intermediate tournament had 18 tables, won by John Little and Graham Saunders, both from the Waikato Bridge Club, so your neighbour in Hamilton. Yeah. The Mount Maunganui junior pairs, 10 tables, won by Joan McNeil and Andrew Lawton, both from Tauranga. And the Mount Maunganui novice was superb. They had one session in the afternoon, so they came and joined us, and they had a first equal. Mark Burgriff and Julie Fruin from Tauranga equaled with Alison Thompson and Susie Ranger from Mount Maunganui, and both of them scored 62.5%. So that was fantastic. All in all, at Mount Maunganui in the afternoon, we had 32 tables, three different tournaments, 32 tables playing bridge. No hiccups in the scoring. Beautifully directed by Norm Silcock. Did all three, ran it wonderfully. Tops to Mount Maunganui for actually pulling it off. I thought, oh my gosh, how on earth is this going to work? And what I was incredibly impressed with, and this just in old-fashioned terms, 1970 terms, this just blew me away. Their prizes went so deep. In the intermediate, they gave prizes down to 12th place.
Oh, wow. I'm impressed.
And in the juniors, they went down to 7th place. Okay, so that was fantastic. And as they stated, when they introduced the novices and the juniors, they are, inverted commas, the future of our sport or our mind game, if you like, of bridge. So they really went out of their way to make the novices feel so welcome in the afternoon when they joined us. It was a wonderful, wonderful day for the gym club. Anyway.
Know what I did on Friday night, Mariana?
What?
I went into the Warkworth Bridge Club online session to see if Buddy Longley was there, and there was no sign of him. Six tables.
I was down in Tauranga. We went down to Tauranga on Friday. I stayed with my cousin down there, and so we took her out to dinner. So fish and chips in the retirement village, including a glass of wine and a huge piece of beautifully cooked fish and chips and a little salad, $19. So no, I wasn't playing. But why didn't you log in, Barry, and play?
Well, I just thought I'll go and have a look at this since it's a Friday night, you know, and because I don't have a life. I thought I'll go in and have a look and see if Longley's playing at the walk with no sign of him, Mariana. I thought if I arrive, there'll be a welcoming committee of Ross Longley and somebody else. But no, no. Actually, Steve was directing it and he asked me who my partner was. I'm just coming for a look.
Steve would have found you a partner, Barry.
Yeah, that would have given them a phantom.
Okay.
You never know. I might have a game there one night, Ross.
You can have a game with me, Barry.
There you go.
Back on that wagon again.
Promises, eh, Mariana?
Maybe on a Friday night at Warkworth. Might be a start, bro.
A little bit of news from Warkworth, my home club. They've actually applied to the region to run a junior tournament next year. After all the badgering that they've had from me and others, they've gone ahead and applied for a junior tournament. And two of their juniors, Sarah and Libby, have entered into the Rimura Junior Tournament this weekend, which is really great. I'm so pleased they've done that. Shout out again for that tournament. They got more tables. They got 10 tables now, but they still could do with another, I reckon, two tables to make it a really nice tournament. So come on, you Ginnies and juniors, enter that Rimura Tournament on Saturday.
Speaking of Warkworth, Mariana, why don't we give them a plug for their online session on Friday nights? If you're not doing anything, Warkworth Club run it online. Anybody can play, can they, Ross?
Anybody can play, of course. $5 and a free bowl. Oh,
bargain.
And a free what?
Free bowl of chips.
Okay, so, well, hey, look, we'll see if we can increase the numbers for Friday night. 7 o'clock start or 7:30, was it?
7 o'clock. Yep.
7 o'clock start.
This week, no Warkworth Mind Bridge because it's the Auckland
Interclub team. The following Friday night, if you're a little loose end, you can play online at Warkworth and you don't have to leave your lounge.
Just a comment about the junior tournament on this Saturday. That is the first of the new Gin Club Auckland circuit for juniors. And the results for the intermediate circuit are being tabulated at the moment by Kevin Hu. Oh, Barry, I thought of you the other night. Well, I hope you'll laugh about this. You'll probably cringe, actually. I'm sitting there at the table and my partner opened one club and I wrote it down on the Bidding Club, one club, and I was miles away. My right-hand opponent passed. So I looked at my hand. I've got five clubs and four spades. So I opened one club. Director, was the call from my left. Naturally, I was hauled off into the corner and read the riot act by Alex Meyer, who was directing. And I thought, what the hell am I going to do now? And then I remembered Barry's words. Your partner's never going to be out a bid again. So there's only one bid you can make, Ross. Three no trumps, I go. Three no trumps is the perfect contract. Thank you, Barry.
You didn't have a lot of choices, did you? I mean, what can you do? You don't have a comparable bid to make. So
that's right.
You're right. Your partner's out. You've just cooked their goose.
It was you that told all of us Gin Club members on Bridgestone about 3 months ago exactly what to do, and I remembered your words.
The bad news is, like everything else, it doesn't always work. Sometimes three no trumps is not going to be the right contract. Partner's going to put down six clubs and avoid in spades or something, and you think, geez, we should have been in six clubs. And here we are in this stupid three no trumps. Why did I ever listen to the Bridge Zone, you'll think?
Well, it worked this time. Thank you.
Catch up with us next week. The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observe omne neminem time. Respect all. Fear none. Have a good week. Light it and
send it out. Send it out now. It's Judge Julie next.
ye, hear ye. The court's in session. The court's in session now. Here come the judge. Here come the judge.
And we had a bonus question that we put to Judge Julie last week. And that question was, should or should not the scores be shown on the bridge mat or bridge pads during session play?
The thing we're talking about that's a bit irritating, Julie, is when you get somebody who's scoring and somebody goes down in four spades and they look at it and they say, oh, it says you should make it.
Yes, I know. People keep saying, oh, we should have done this. I said, there's no should about it.
I agree with that.
I've given up. It's impossible. But the problem is that with slow play, which is an issue, with some people, that is one of the things that makes it slower. And there are a lot of things people can do around slow play, around the edges of it, about the way they pick up their cards, about what they starting the next board, not discussing every hat, all of those things that are nothing to do with the actual bidding and play. If those things can be
distracting and take up time, right,
then play speeds up without actually having to play faster.
Of course, the other thing is the percentages. And you know, once again, somebody says, that was 100% for us. Well, you know, that's, that's not
in
great
your pipe
either.
And smoke it.
Well, the thing about, and I'll be really clear personally, right, from a personal point of view, if you are playing, at a certain point, you know that you've done well or you haven't done well, right? So you've got a fairly good idea about what you think your score is as you go through the session. When I learnt to play, every time I thought I'd done very well, I scored less than 40%, and when I'd done badly, I got over 60. So for me, when I was learning to play, looking at the scores would have been helpful. But at no point now, I just don't care, right?
Yeah.
I'm quite happy not to see them. So it's an interesting question about whether or not you should be able to. It's also something that would probably slow down play even more, which is another issue in itself.
Well, of course, back in the day when all the scores were on there, you got a very good idea of when you looked at that score and you'd gone down in something or other and there was one solitary score on the opponent's side all the way down the sheet. It was very depressing.
When you had a traveller's sheet, yeah.
If you didn't know that, then maybe you need to assess your hands better, Barry.
Yeah, true. All righty, okay. Judgy, we'll catch you next week.
Rightio.
Guest today is Malcolm Mayer, who is the president of Akarana. We'd like to know one about you and also about Akarana. Good morning.
Hi, Malcolm.
Good morning. Good to be here.
The first thing I want to ask is, I played on Friday in the online tournament run by Akarana, the Swiss Pairs. We all got something called the Akarana Performance Program. What's that all about? How does it work and who developed it?
One would have to say that in many ways it's been a work in progress over many years. Decades ago, as individual partnerships used to accumulate our own data, so we could actually see our effectiveness in many different areas. Rumor has it that technology is not a significant string to my bow, and I've always left that to others, whether that be laziness or the fact that I'm basically a caveman. When my partner of the day, in actual fact, stopped doing that, he has some lousy excuse. I think he passed away, actually. It was then difficult to find someone that would do this level of admin, I guess, really, with the advent of the online game. And also Akarana's position that we do not have any real estate, so we're severely compromised in our ability to run face-to-face sessions. The advantage of online is that every bid you make, every play you make, it is all captured and it can be basically recorded for all time.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect opportunity to run a performance program where everything is automated and captured in that way. So with my background and experience in it and that of many others within our club, I would say that, you know, Akarana has hundreds of years accumulatively of international experience and probably unique in that way. So to be able to draw on that vast reservoir of experience, the online game gives us the ideal platform to utilise the technology there and to put our program into practice.
Can anybody subscribe to this, Malcolm? And if so, how do they do that? They just have to play in an online...
Basically, it's an Acorana tool for now.
Yeah.
Acorana only exists, as we don't have real estate, Acorana really only exists today in the interest of developing bridge throughout the non-land. And we have no need to make money to pay rates or insurances and other, you know, property demands. We also feel that we have a, I don't know that it's an obligation, but we feel a personal duty to actually give back to the bridge community. And every time one plays in any kind of Acorana event, data will be accumulated. And so you can drill down and see exactly where you are doing really well and particularly where you're not doing so well. So you could focus on those areas as a partnership to improve your overall game and your overall performance.
Got that, Barry?
Okay, so at the moment, your role at Acorana Bridge Club is president. If you find yourself in a bit of an unusual position, as you say, not owning any real estate or anything compared to other bridge clubs. So what does the future hold for the Acorana Bridge Club?
Okay, well, we have a good relationship with, I still think of it, to be fair, as the Auckland Bridge Club. Rebranded themselves as the Remuera Bowls and Bridge Club, and they have said that absolutely when they have their new premises, there will be a place for Acorana. For many years, we've been a tenant of the Auckland Bridge Club, and obviously they're going through quite a changing time right now. So we need to be patient. We could be looking at least 2.5 years before we can get into face-to-face. So there are significant advantages in the online game, primarily, as I say, insofar as we can capture every card that's played, every bid that's made, and we can put our many years of expertise into analysing and breaking down that data so that people can see the true facts of where they are performing well and not so well. So, yes, it's the online game for now, and in actual fact, it's kind of like joining the new age. If you talk about online, it's we're not just restricted to playing face-to-face with people in our own parish. We could be playing nationwide. And in fact, on Friday when we ran our tournament, we had a gentleman from Egypt playing in real time. So the gentleman played through the night, and word has it he had a thoroughly enjoyable tournament. And
awesome.
I've had extremely positive feedback.
This is pretty stunning coming from Malcolm. I mean, when he says he's a caveman, Mariana, you know, he's been referred to the way he bids sometime like an animal. And here he is. Here he is embracing modern technology, which is somewhat surprising to me.
Okay, in terms of the technology, the fact is that writing the software, if you like, I mean, that absolutely does not fall to me. Elevated to the giddy heights of president is really probably because I've got the biggest mouth, perhaps.
See you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.